So, Happy New Year. You're thinking, what is Father Spirit saying? Happy New Year. In the church's order of things, we celebrated New Year on Saturday, yesterday. And I think that it's really quite an amazing thing. But first, before we get into what the New Year is really about, let's read a little bit about the gospel that was appointed for yesterday. It says, after his 40-day fast and temptations by the devil, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region. And he taught in the synagogues, being glorified by all. And so this reading is from the Gospel of St. Luke. And it happens in the fourth chapter. So it happens right away. And so it falls after the temptations of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ by the devil. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened upon him. And he began to say unto them, this day is Scripture fulfilled in your hearing. So here, our Savior, after the temptations, announces the year of the Lord, as it were. And the Holy Church marks this date as September 1st, which in the old calendar is on the 14th of September in the calendar we are currently using, the secular calendar. And it's a very interesting thing, I think, that this is the new year. And it really requires, I think, some consideration. And I think, first of all, science and all of our sophisticated culture and its many ways obscures, I think, often the reality of the natural order. And so we see things through lenses, I like to say. You have a certain presupposition, that's your lens, you look at reality and you see it in terms of that lens. And what is actually amazing is that if you look back upon primitive man, and one might say primitive man, well, you know, we're not primitive any longer, but there really are some wonderful things about men and women who are not, as it were, burdened with filters, all kinds of filters, which you receive through tradition and education and science and so on. And if you look at the natural order of things, you realize that actually the harvest is in, right? I mean, I think that's a reality. At least in the northern hemisphere, which is where the Gospels and so on were revealed and written. So the harvest is in. And the end of the growing season is upon us. And, you know, I was in a little discussion earlier, and you think, well, okay, well, spring is the next beginning. No. The harvest is in. And if we didn't look at the harvest through modern agriculture, we would actually see those fruits which had not been gathered for sustenance fall to the ground, and they bear seed. And then the leaves turn, and the leaves begin to fall, and we get the fall rains, and they're buried. They're buried in the ground. And here they rest, covered a little bit with snow and whatever God gives, blanketing them, and in a sense, protecting them. Awaiting 9 months later, essentially, May, when they begin to germinate. And it's a fascinating thing. It's September through into May. They're germinating, and the April showers bring May flowers. They have that little saying, which is very nice. But it's very real. So then these seeds begin to germinate. Begin to grow, and you have a new life. So it is, if you have the end of the year in September, then the beginning is with the fall. And it's also true, it's also true with the conception of a child. It's fascinating. Since obviously, children are conceived any time of the year, but isn't it fascinating how this mystery of conception happens? And once again, I'm sure that there's a lot of science, the images and so on and so forth, which show you about the physical realities. But the physical realities do not reveal this profound mystery of conception and the mystery of the child, the growth of the child in the womb, the mother, and attended even by the father with compassion and helping and so on. And a mystery that, one, our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, by the power of His Holy Spirit, resides, is part of this divine reality that a child be conceived. And of course, as soon as the mother realizes that she is with child, there's an instant relationship between the heart and the mind and the emotion, all of the emotions of the mother and the child. And even the father, of course, is part of this tremendous feeling and strength and sharing of energies. And the human energies of our love combining with the divine energies of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, nurturing the child. And in 9 months, it's fascinating, I think, that this is the case. And so these are profound mysteries. And the ancient people saw the end near with the gathering of the harvest. And if the end is here, then the beginning must be here too. And the covering of the seed in anticipation and preparation for the spring. Bringing forth our fruits. So this is our new year. And I think in the spirit of the natural cycle of life, the seeds are being planted, as it were. The various feast days, they leave us with divine understandings and divine experiences and divine realities. That God fills with His grace and His love to nurture us. And in a week or so, next week, we celebrate the Nativity of the Most Holy Mother of God. And just this the cycle, the exaltation of the cross, and it goes on. And of course, there are 12 great feasts in the church. But actually, if you go through the list, I mean, it just goes on and on and on. There are minor feasts throughout the year. And the question is, okay, this is the new year. And it's appropriate to ask. I know with the secular new year, people make resolutions, lose 5 pounds, or they're not going to eat chocolate, or something like that. But we need to make a resolution. And the resolution I think we need to make is to unite ourselves cycle of the church. And we can do it through the divine services, and that's the most important thing. But we as sheep have been scattered. We've been scattered. And we live in different places, and we have to travel to church, and we can't be here because of obligations of jobs and so on and so forth. But our New Year's resolution should be to do much better than we have done before. To try to be present to all of these amazing feasts, the Nativity of the Theotokos, the Elevation of the Cross, the Holy Protection of the Mother of God, the Presentation of Theotokos at the Temple, the Circus of the Lord, the Nativity, and Theophany, and so it goes into this Paschal cycle. All of these beautiful realities. And we need to make this New Year's resolution that we're going to participate. And one of the things that I have been doing, which, you know, surprises me, because, you know, we used to have a telephone on the wall of our kitchen area, you know, back on the farm, 3 miles back on a dirt road in New Hampshire, and it was an oak box with a crank, right? So that's where I started. And but today, you know, we have our cell phone, and it's an amazing thing. You can get the app from Holy Trinity Russian Orthodox Church, and it's an amazing app. I mean, it's there for you. Maybe you're all on it. I mean, you know, I'm on it now. It's great. And you can open it up, and there is the day. And you can look and see the readings. And if you would like to read the gospel, the epistle of the gospel for the day, just click, touch it, thing like that. There it is. And then you can go closer, touch the next one, there's the gospel, there it is. And if it's a feast day, you'll see the feast highlight a little bit, you touch it, and there's the feast. And if they're important saints, well, obviously all saints are important, you can touch it, and there is the life. And wouldn't it be an amazing thing if we all, each and every one of us, every day, that we couldn't be in the divine services, opened our phone for 15 minutes, let's say, and clicked on all of these things. And we're nurtured by them. And we must, because if we are going to be the children of God, we must allow our shepherd to shepherd us. And the way he shepherds us is, first of all, he calls us mystically. He shines a light upon our hearts. One of the things that everyone who, I think, reaches basic Orthodox maturity, even people who were born Orthodox, but particularly I think of those of us who are, you know, converts, as we call them, you realize at some point, I said this before, but, you know, I used to think I was so clever, I figured this out, figured that out, and then I realized one day, no, it could not have happened if God had not, in his infinite love and mercy, shine his light upon me and my family and led us to the church. That's what's going on. And that's the truth. So God loves us. That's the bottom line. God loves us infinitely. I mean, you read this gospel, you know, that was for the New Year. And he says, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And the broken heart, I mean, my word. How living in the world without God, without grace, without love, in separation, so and even relationships, even marriages, without God and without the mystical bond of marriage and love, I mean, it's not the same as the mystical bond of love through the grace of God. So, I mean, we all at some level have been brokenhearted in our lives. And he came to heal us and to preach deliverance to the captives. We're the captives. We're captive. We're in captivity to our passions and to all of the evil thoughts that we have and to our pride. And he came to deliver us and make it, set us free, and the recovering of sight to the blind, Yes, the physical blind, but we are spiritually blind. If we weren't so blind, we would know what our responsibility is, and we would do it. We would do it. We would see with clarity, and we would follow that clarity and that light, that like Moses and leading the children of Israel out of Egypt with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And they follow this phenomenon that went before them, and the light illuminated their path. And so our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ has come to restore our sight so that we can see what we must do. Not must do in weightiness and in some kind of obligation, but we must do to be free, to enjoy true freedom from the passions and from darkness and from the inner pain and sorrow of broken relationships and all of the things that we've endured. Be free. That our God would come to us and wash away all of the past. We will always remember it. And that's a blessing, actually. We'll remember all of the things that we indulged in and we have done. But God will take the power of darkness and evil away from them so they do not bind us any longer. And this is a beautiful thing. And He has come to us to do this. To set at liberty them that are bruised. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Oh, brothers and sisters in Christ our God, He has come to set us free. And we need to meet Him. We need to go to Him. Like the prodigal son, you know, he was returning home and he was a long way off when the father heard that he was coming. What did he do? He ran out to him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him home and called for a banquet and the slaying of the fatted calf, and they rejoiced. St. Simeon is also celebrated. St. Simeon the Zealot celebrated on the New Year Day. And I smile. My heart smiles. St. Simeon, at the age of 18, he was profoundly moved by hearing the gospel of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ in a church service. And he wanted, from that very moment on, to dedicate himself to Christ. He sought out the advice of a holy elder that was known in the area. He lived in Cappadocia. And he then entered a monastery and was there for several years. But he had an intensity about him that actually... It's very complicated because there's a difference between rejecting someone and not being able to, in a sense, deal with them. I mean, you know you love them and you know they're just wonderful, so but they're just so intense that you just can't be around them, and at least in long term. So what happened is he was fundamentally pushed out of the monastery because he had such intense zeal. But as I say, not because they despised him, but he was just too much for their rule. And he ultimately took on a discipline, which is very rare. Fundamentally, living on a pillar. At first, the pillar was about 15 feet tall. And he went up there. And he actually would come up early during the day and come down at night and in the beginning. And as time went on, he dedicated himself more and more intensely to our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ through unceasing prayer. And people were coming and they were bothering him, you know, so he made the pillar higher. Finally, he got to the point where the pillar was 60 feet tall. And the emperor was moved, of course, by his intensity and the fruits of intensity, because people would come and they would pray in the presence of him. Many Muslims would come and just in awe. This man's been up on that pillar. It's 30 years he's been up on the pillar. And it seems almost impossible, but it's not impossible with God. So he lived on this pillar, and people converted, and the emperor protected him and nurtured him and so on. And I think I thought to myself, well, this is an interesting thing that St. Simeon and the stylite, who's probably the most intense ascetic in the history of Christianity, is celebrated on the New Year. Now, why? Why would that be? It is, I think, because he is there to inspire us. And God knows, we're not going to be St. Simeon on the stylite. But we can, every day, Read the gospel, the epistle, a life or two of the saint. If it's a feast, read about the saint. We can do that every day. And we can do it easily. And we must do it. And then, inspired by the word of God and his presence, working through his word as consider it each and every day, we will be inspired to unite ourselves to the Holy Church and participate in its divine services. And can you imagine, you know, some of us are growing old. And, I mean, can you think of a better situation than to sort of like live with the, you know, side, over by the side of the church, you know, and be able to go to the services every day? And to live in this environment, hearing the word of God. I mean, it's just, it's an amazing thing. And hopefully, if we could just attend the divine services and the feasts. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, our God, Happy New Year! And here is our charge and our responsibility. May we be given the wisdom and the grace, the mercies of God, that enable us to fulfill our commitments as Orthodox Christians. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.